What difference?
It's okay, sing your voice and voice out.
Hear us all sing.
No one ever cared for me like Jesus. 308, right? The old one is. Yeah, the old one is 308. I think. I should just leave my hymn book at home. 308.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other than him could. No one ever cared for me but Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever lived for me like Jesus. No other friend so kind as he. No one else would take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me.
Let's pray together. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall continue our study of the New Testament. So this morning we are up to the book of James already. The book of James was written by Apostle James. It was mentioned in chapter 1, verse 1. Who is this James? And of course, in the Bible, there were quite a lot of James. But this James is the brother, the physical relationship. He's a sibling of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, when Jesus first came out preaching, he was not even a believer. He didn't listen to his older brother's teaching, because he thinks, he's my older brother, how can he be the savior, what he claimed to be, right? But over time, he discovered more about Lord Jesus Christ. Physically, yes, he's my younger brother, my older brother, excuse me. But spiritually, he understood that Lord Jesus Christ is the true savior. So not only he believed, but later he became a very prominent leader in the church in Jerusalem. And we can see in the book of Acts, during the Jerusalem meeting, the council, that he was the chairman. And what he said really carried out the weight, and people listened to him. And he considered very, very influential in the early church in Jerusalem. And of course, Jerusalem is the quarter, is the headquarter of the churches during the apostolic time. Whenever they have disputes, they'll go back to Jerusalem to try to resolve it, especially in the matter of the truth. So in today's time, you can say James is more like the chairman of the GA. Of course, we know the true leader is Lord Jesus Christ, but James, he's very influential in leading the church. He was very famous for his prayer. He prayed a lot, according to tradition. He prayed until his knee is so thick like a camel. So people tell him, Camel James, Camel Need James. So, yes, it's true, right? Because God created our skin, the more you rub it, the more you use it, the thicker your skin will become. So if you pray a lot, it will reflect in your knees. If you don't pray at all, if you pray very little, your knee will be very smooth. Right. So there's a saying. There was a mother tell her daughter, in the future when you look at a spouse, look for a brother. You make sure you check out his knees first. Right? If the brother and the knees very very smooth, this means he doesn't pray at all. Sister the same, right? Brother, in the future you look for a sister. Of course you don't ask, but can I see your knees? But you just observe, right? The sister, if she pray a lot, she's a good sister. If the sister doesn't like to pray, or that brother doesn't like to pray, well, you want to entrust your life to him or her, you better think twice. Because faith is the most important thing. So the book was written pretty early because it didn't mention about Jerusalem meeting, didn't mention about persecution. So usually the scholars dated the book pretty early, like 45 AD. And it was written, according to verse 1, to the Jewish member, more Jewish brother and sister in the churches. Because the verse 1 tells us that the book was written to all the 12 tribes scattered throughout the places. Of course, it's mentioning to the Hebrew or Jewish Christians. But of course, it's written to them first, but of course, even the Gentiles member, they are also benefited from this book. This book, if you look at just service, is quite contradictory to the book of Romans. Because the book of Romans mentioned about we are saved by faith. But the book of James emphasized we need to have action. If you don't have action, you are not even have faith at all. So it seems that the two books emphasize different things. But actually, they never contradict each other, if you understand the true meaning. The book of Romans emphasizes that faith is what you need to have first. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. If you don't believe in Jesus, even you have a whole bunch of actions, even you try really hard to cultivate, first, you cannot attain perfection by yourself. You will never do it 100% anyway. Secondly, action itself cannot save us. So we need to base on the faith of Lord Jesus Christ. So Romans talk about before you are saved, you need to have faith. And from faith to faith. But James is talking about another perspective. It's talking about after you believe. So the key is after you believe. How do you show your faith or prove your faith? You cannot just say that I believe in God, I believe in the church, that's enough, I'm going to heaven. Well, of course, in only one scenario, you go to heaven right away, right? It's after you get baptized, you die immediately. Anyone want to get baptized and die immediately? I don't think so, right? If after baptism, people die immediately, nobody want to get baptized. Right. So after you believe in Christ, after you have this beginning faith, what do you need to prove that your faith is genuine? It's through action. If you don't have action, what you talk about, your belief is empty talk. Doesn't really matter. So these two books actually doesn't contradict each other, but rather is to support each other, make the whole picture clearer. So the theme of the book of James is faith and action. Faith and action. These two support each other. And the theme verse can be on chapter 2, verse 22. Let's read. 2:22. By what faith was made complete? So this is the key words, right? He used the case of Abraham. Yes, Abraham was justified by faith. But his faith would not have been complete without his offering his son and following everything. If you say, I believe in God, but God tells him you offer up your son, but you don't do it, then God would not even accept him or call him righteous. So faith was made complete by action. So this is the theme of the book. And that is very important for us. We claim to be Christian. We were baptized, we were called, we were all born into the church at a very young age. We believe in God, there's no problem. Even for many people walking on the street, they say they believe in God. But the people, what is the difference between they say they believe in God, or even other Christian denomination, they say they believe in God. What's the difference between them and TJC? The faith was not complete. Because whatever the Bible did, whatever the Bible said, they didn't do 100%. They didn't try to follow everything. But TJC, we are the true church. Our faith is complete because by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we follow everything possibly written in the Bible as much as we can. No matter how trivial it sounds or the detail it sounds in the doctrine, we do it. So there are two things about action, right? One is doctrine. Write it down. Two things about your action to prove your faith. One is doctrine. You spend so much time learning a basic doctrine, even though there are some details in the basic doctrine, but no matter how small the detail, like living water. Do you really have to go to living water? If there's no living water nearby, somebody argue. Or somebody is so sick, they are afraid of cold water, or the water is polluted. Do you still want to bring them to the polluted water, dip them, let them be infected, let them die? People argue. But for us, we don't care the risk. We just emphasize faith needs to be proved by action. If you believe in Lord Jesus Christ, even the water is very polluted or very cold, the patient is very sick, you still baptize him or her in the name of Jesus there. And since the beginning of the true church, no one has ever get sick or died right after water baptism just because the water is too dirty or too cold. Right, this is called faith. Second area of action is our spiritual cultivation. This is very important. We claim to have the true gospel. We claim to have the complete salvation. But is our action better than others? If you claim that, we're a true church, well, we are the only saved church, we are the highest mountain. But when you go out, you're smoking, you go to a casino, and then you hang out with your friend drinking alcohol until you get drunk, then what's the point? You claim to be the best, you have to be showing yourself to be the best. Otherwise, you say you're the highest mountain, but other denomination, the Christian, even behave better than you. Then we are not living up to our names. Don't forget we are the what? True Jesus Church member. This name is very, very annoying to many Christians. Right? You are true, doesn't mean we are not true. Of course, spiritually, we know this is the right answer, right? But of course, we don't tell them straight. We cannot tell them, yeah, you're false. Don't you know, come to our true church. It's too proud saying like that, right? But in our mind, we know that we are the true church. But it's your action to prove that you are a true member, right? Were you cheating in the test? Were you jealous of other people? Were you just greedy, taking out things from the school or from your workplace? Were you just, while you're working, you search the internet, wasting your boss money and time? Will you do all this? Right? If you do this, you get caught, you say you're a true church member. Oh, Jesus' name. Were shameful by us. So this is very important to know this book. So, there's a few main points about how to show true faith through our action. First, we have to always pray for wisdom. We have to always pray for wisdom. Chapter 1, verse 5. We have to always pray for wisdom if we want to carry out our faith. Wisdom is very important, especially when you face trial and temptation. Wisdom is not only about how to perform well in school, but wisdom is about how to make decisions. When you face a tough situation, can you make the right decision under enormous pressure, especially when people look down on you? Or to make a decision, if you want to follow God, you'll suffer. But if you want to go with the flow, your friend will recognize you. Which path do you want to make decision? So if you have wisdom, you can make always the right decision. So if you want to carry out your faith through the action, you have to always pray to God. God, please let me see clearly. Don't let me just make decision by my own impulse or physical needs. I want to make decision that is good for me in the long term. I want to make a decision that make you happy, not make myself happy. You'll be making a lot more decision in a few years time, right? You're still living under your parents' care, but you are in university already. So in a few years, you'll be making decision. Why? What kind of friend you hang out, and then where you want to go, what kind of major, where you'll be going to work. And in a few years' time, whom you should marry, who you should be seeing, who you want to start a family with. This kind of decision are very important to you. So ask God to give you wisdom. Secondly, we have to ask God to give us strength to overcome temptation. Verse 12 to 14.
Say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt by fortune. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed.
Verse 15.
Then, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death.
You must overcome temptation in order to prove your faith. Nobody likes temptation. Nobody likes tests. But if you don't overcome it, actually the fact is you will face it sometime, someday. And you will overcome it by the power of Lord Jesus Christ. So by doing this, you show your faith. The word temptation or test, in English, they are different. But in original words, they are the same word. So test, or trial, or temptation. In the original word, they are the same word. Only English, we separate them into two words. What does it mean? Trial, or test, or temptation. You can see it from both perspectives. Something happened, right? For example, some tough situation happened. It can be allowed by God. But of course, at the same time, it's used by the devil. The same thing could happen, but have two meanings. If God allowed this to happen, it's for your faith to be tested and so that you can grow. You can learn how to trust. You learn how to pray more. And then through the trials, you discover your weaknesses. And eventually, after you overcome it, you bring glory to God. But the same thing can happen from the devil's perspective. He'll use it to destroy your faith. you use this to cast doubt on you until the point that you fall and then you go down to hell with him. So the same thing can have two different perspectives. For example, Job, when he was tested, God knows what God, devil is going to do. Devil has to come to ask for permission. But God knows that Job can endure it. God knows that Job needs to go through it to be perfect. Because even though he is already very perfect, but still have some imperfection, God allowed Job to be tested further to remove his impurity. And God have confidence on Job so that after the test, he'll bring glory to God and bring edification to many members after they read his story. So even though it's painful, but God allowed Job to go through this. But of course, the same event, devil didn't think the same. Devil think that now I got a chance to destroy his faith. By destroying his family, removing his property, Job will forsake God, especially after I struck his health. So both same event, but can have two different angles of looking at it, from God's perspective and devil's perspective. But no matter where you look at it, James tells us, if you want to show your faith, prove your faith, somehow you endure this kind of test or temptation, maybe it's different situation, but you must overcome it. Because you love God, God promised you the crown of life if you overcome it. So in our life, we can face different kind of persecution or temptation. But verse 14 tells us, sometimes this test or trial or temptation doesn't purely come from God at all. In some situation, doesn't necessarily have to do anything with God, but rather is you put yourself into trouble. Why do you put yourself into trouble? Because you have sinful desire inside. Verse 14. Verse 15.
Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death.
Oh, here tell us, in some case, when this involves sinful nature, sinful temptation, you have to stop it right from the beginning. You cannot harvest the sinful thinking or the lust. Otherwise, if it's conceived, it becomes bigger and bigger. And when it's fully grown, you will be dead. You'll be finished. So temptation comes two kinds, right? Sometimes temptation just come straight with no warning. But another temptation come with gradual growth and affecting your life. For example, if you are indulged in addiction in pornography, you're watching the internet. At the beginning, you think that I just have nothing to do. I just want to watch, just curious. You think that I'm not going to do it anyway. I know I shouldn't be doing it. But everybody's watching it. My friend's watching it. It's fun to watch it. So if you keep watching it, the more you watch it, your mind becomes polluted. If you watch those pornography, your thinking toward the opposite sex will be totally twisted. That's why those who use pornography, actually you can tell from their face almost. Especially brothers, right? You use too much pornography, you sort of thing, even your eyes cannot look straight to opposite sex because your mind is already polluted. Of course, sister may not notice, but the sister will say, this guy is very rare, right? Quite quiet, right? Sometimes, right? Sometimes some guys appear quite quiet, right? Which appears a little bit rare, it must be something wrong in the mind. Really, from your eyes, people can tell. The way you look at other people, quite quiet, right? Because your mind is already polluted. If your mind is polluted, in the future, you cannot have a good marriage because your concept of opposite sex is totally twisted. So don't think that it's no harm to be watching it. Or your mind will be twisted. And then the more you watch it, the more you'll be tempted to commit sin. Because you think that this is okay. Not only brother, sister is the same. You always watch the movie, love story, and then they end up romantic relationship. Your heart will be enticed to be having this kind of lust and sinful things. And now they're not only just normal movie, right? Nowadays, some movie, they just emphasize on homosexual behavior. So many movie, because nowadays, traditional love story, not selling very well anymore. So movie makers tend to explore another kind of topics, which is homosexual love, right? Like Brokeback Mountain, like all those kings. They'll make the story very beautiful. But actually, they are promoting homosexuality. If you think it's okay to see it, right? It's only a story. Wow, it's so romantic. The more you see it, the sin will grow. When you conceive the sin until it's fully grown, you're dead. You'll commit the act. So really, if you want to prevent committing sin, you have to prevent the thought from coming into the mind. Otherwise, if you don't prevent the thought, if you don't clean the thought, the thinking, even though people bound you up, there's no use. So we have to ask God to really cleanse our mind. And sometimes temptation comes suddenly. There was a brother who is a very famous musician, the violinist. He traveled around to perform with orchestra. There was one night he was in a hotel after the performance. And then in the hotel, when he was staying in the hotel room, the doorbell rang. I said, who's coming at this kind of hour, like 10 o'clock or something? And he opened the door. He found out one of the orchestra player, a very beautiful lady, coming to entice him and want to come in to have sex with him. You know, European, I'm not trying to not offending Europe, right? But generally speaking, European, Caucasian are very liberal. Having sex for them is just like having lunch together, right? They don't have dignity, they don't have decency. So that woman just knocked the door and opened the door and want to come in to have sex with that brother. And that brother is married and he was just baptized. But really thank God, God really protected the brother. The brother immediately said, no, go away. You cannot come in. I'm married. I cannot do this. But the woman didn't want to go on waiting for the outside. And what did she say? No, it's too late. I cannot go home now. Can you let me come in? Now, if you were the brother, you're thinking, I'm not going to do it, but let him come in. Let have a good talk. What will happen? Talk about music? If he let her to come in, he would die spiritually that night. Because no one can overcome this kind of temptation. But the brother has the power of the Holy Spirit. Immediately, he said to her, you must go back. If you don't have money, I'll call a taxi for you. Go down to the lobby, we can call a taxi for you. But you cannot come into my room. And the lady just left because she noticed this brother didn't want to sleep with her. And she feel embarrassed and she left. Now can you imagine what kind of temptation he was facing, right? That brother later testified, I don't know why I get the strength to say no. Usually, men don't say no in this kind of situation. But really, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God has protected him. Even though the lust is there, but stop there. Just like abortion, spiritual abortion. When the sin is started to conceive, you must remove it. But if you harvest the sin in your heart, sooner or later it will consume you. Right, your concept. You give birth, you must give birth after you receive, after you are conceived. When you're fully grown, you cannot abort, it's too big. And then you let it give birth, and the sin, the death will result. So no matter what kind of temptation you are facing, remember what James tells us. Sometimes it's not that God allowed this to happen to you, but rather it's your mind, you allow this to happen to yourself. Right? What you see, what you listen, what kind of friend you hang out, what kind of situation you put yourself into. So we have to be very careful. What does it mean faith need to action? Also, chapter 1, verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 19.
verse 19. Says, I am my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Another encouragement by Elder James is we have to learn to control our tongue and control our anger. If you say you have true faith in God, but you just blow up, right, lose your temper easily, you are not a true believer. Because a true believer shall be able to control his own anger. This is called anger management, right? We all have emotion. We all have anger. But some people will be able to control it and contain it. But someone will just let the anger blow up. You're not happy, just throw things. Have you seen any people throw things when they are not happy in your house? Some people slam the table when they're during the meeting. Some people just fight people when they're too angry or swear at people. But we are the children of God. We have to learn how to control our anger. And also control our tongue, whatever you speak. That's why in James chapter 3, the whole chapter talks about we should be controlling our tongue. Very important. If you don't control your tongue and speak filthy language, gossip, lies, even though you say, oh, I'm a true believer. No, God said, no, you are not. So we have to really control our speak. Also, we need to have love to prove that we have faith. We have to have love. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. Chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. Next.
What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he does not have works? And faith saves him. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what will it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead.
Very important, verse 17. Faith without work is dead. The word dead means doesn't exist. Right. There's no such kind of faith as faith without work. You cannot say, I have pure faith, I have theory faith, I know things, but I don't do it. Sorry, your faith is not real faith. Even devil have faith, if you want to say it like that way, right? Does devil believe there's one God? Definitely. Devil is in spiritual realm, he knows that there's only one God. But will he follow God? No. So, James used an example, saying that if you see your brother and sister are in need, right, they are lacking something, they are suffering, they need food, clothing, and help. But you say, that, oh, may God bless you, hallelujah, Emmanuel, peace. Wow, say kind of nice word. But don't do anything. This kind of faith is useless. It's not even true. So you cannot just say, I pray for you, okay? Of course, prayer is important. But sometimes you just say, okay, I pray for you. But you don't even visit the person. Even though he or she is sick, is in hospital, or didn't come to church for a few weeks because they are not feeling well at home, do you go to visit them? If you say, oh, I only pray for you, but you don't even go to visit, then we are not talking about the truth. We must do something. Right? If you see a truth seeker come in the church, nobody talks to him or her. You educated so much at YTTC for 3 weeks, 3 years in a row. Learn so much Bible teaching. But you see a truth seeker or a member alone there, nobody talking to him or her. What should you do? You should go there, introduce yourself, and talk to the person, and bring him to your group so that you can take care of each other. Everybody take care of him. So action is the key, right? So it's very important to use action to show our love to God. And of course, there are a lot of other things talked about. If you want to prove you have true faith, you have to always submit to God. Chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. Eight. True faith means that you submit to God, resist the devil, and draw near to God. It's very important, right? How can we resist temptation? We can do it passively. How can we resist temptation? Passively, that means you try to flee away from devil, right? You try to flee away. That means if you know that that friend actually always talk about ungodly things, you try to avoid him or her, right? If you think you are addicted to internet, then you don't use it, right? So this is the passive way. But you cannot do passive always. You have to do positive. What is a positive? You draw near to God, and then devil will flee away. Even though you run away, devil may follow you, right? But there's one thing that devil will flee. You draw close to God, and then you resist the devil. For example, you always come to church. You fill up your life. You're so busy. Well, first you study, right? Fill yourself with study. Study hard. As a student, your primary goal now is to study. You have to be very careful on this one. Your primary goal is study right now. You cannot say, oh, I want to do church work, and then you spend all the time in church, but fail your exams. Yeah, I saw some brothers like that before. Right? He said, oh yeah, I want to do work for God in the future. I want to be a preacher. You know, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come to church and do everything. But at the end, he cannot even graduate. He failed his classes, and his father is angry and telling me to talk to his son. He said, even though you want to do work for God in the future, but you need to graduate, right? You cannot just repeat, and waste my money. I've got to talk to him. Okay, I said, even though you want to work for God, even though you do some church work, but study is still your first priority now. You still have to fulfill your duty. Your duty is to study, at least to pass the exam. And nowadays, passing is not even enough. Because there's so many university students, right? If you don't pass, if you don't graduate with better grades, it's difficult to find jobs. So not only you should graduate, but you should do your best, right? Some people do their best is 90. Some people do their best is 80. Doesn't matter. Some even you do your best is 70. Doesn't matter. You must do your best, and God will help you. Wow. Of course, you do holy work, but still have to finish your duty. Secondly, exercise. Young people, write it down. Right. Nowadays, I look at you, I know most of you don't exercise. Right. From your physical fitness, I can tell. Right. Oh, good. Only 4 days, right? Sitting whole day, oh, good. So tired. Eating so well, the food, feel so tired. For what? No. This means you're not trained, you're not physically fit. Right. All the lecturers, they speak for whole day. Talking to you guys, praying for you, but we never complain, ho kui, very tired. We are in the 40s, 50s already, you are 18, 20 years old, how can you complain, you're ho kui? So this means you're not fit spiritually, physically. So you have to exercise. How many of you exercise every day when you are not in YTTC? Raise your hand. Every week, at least, not every day, every week, okay. I'm not saying that the finger exercise, video game. Okay, that's good. So you have to keep yourself, this is the duty. So, this is a duty. Study, exercise, and of course, helping church work. And then fill your schedule. When you fill your schedule, study, exercising, and then church, your life is so filled up. And then you have no time to think about evil things. You have no time to commit sin. Right? You have no chance to be drifted away because your life is so occupied. How to prevent, what is the best way to prevent the weed to grow from the lawn? Do you know? Of course, you can pluck it every time you see the lawn, have some weed, you pluck it, right? But that's not the best way, because every time you pluck it, you get a hole. You can spray it, but you must kill it, kill the weed. Sometimes the grass nearby will also get killed too, right? So what is the best way to prevent the weed from growing? You don't have your mother to do gardening, that's why you don't know, right? You plant something else? If you let the grass to grow healthily, and the grass is very healthy, very thick, the weed will never be able to grow. Why in some ground, there's a lot of weed grow up? Because the grass did not grow healthily. There are space, right? There are space between grasses, and you did not nurture the grass thick enough, dense enough. So the weed, the seed come, they just grow, right? So you have to cultivate the good stuff. Yes, you have to plant something else, but you must plant the good stuff there. And then the bad stuff will not have any space to grow. Right? So if your life is so occupied with something good, study, exercise, try to work, right? And then cultivate some hobby, some good hobby. And then, of course, your heart is so close to God and devil will not have any chance. So this is very important. What else that we should prove our faith? We have to entrust everything to God. We have to entrust everything to God. Chapter 4, verse 15. We should always say, if the Lord will. Right? Somebody can plan, you know, next year I should go to a certain place to do business, buy and sell, earn money. The worldly people, they plan, but they did not put God into the equation. But what does it mean, true faith? Write it down. True faith is when you do planning in your life, you put God into your consideration. You put God into your equation. Because you know, without this factor, you know in the equation there's a factor, right? Without this more important factor, your equation won't work. No matter how well you plan about your future. If God does not allow you to live, don't even talk about what kind of school you want to go, right? Don't talk about whom you want to marry, where you want to live, what kind of work you want to do. If God does not give you life, you're finished. Imagine yourself if you're on that Malaysian airline. Finish, right? So many people, they are doing business. They are thinking about flying there to do business. Some are going to vacationing. Some are going to see their family. Some are even very prominent medical researcher, ACE specialist. They're flying to Melbourne. But the plane just explodes in the mid-air. Some of them, the body cannot even be found. So how can we boast about tomorrow? So when you do planning, whatever you want to do in the future, you're thinking, okay, God, if you are willing, I can come. If you are willing, I can do this. For example, people ask you, why did he see? Do you want to come the next year? What should you say? If God's will, right? People ask me, oh, Preacher Timothy, come back UK to next year. I say, I don't know, I cannot say for sure, right? Only if God's will. Every year I come, I treat it as the last year. You never know if you have chance or not. Right? You're here, don't think that necessary. You will come next year. This may be the last YTTC. You have to learn very seriously. Right? Maybe next year, circumstances, you cannot come. Or your health is no good, you cannot come. Or you're busy, you cannot come. So, you can come here, thank God you learn your best. And then next year, try your best. But only if God's will that we can do something. And how we improve our faith? Prayer. Chapter 5, verse 16. Chapter 5, 16. The prayer of a righteous man is very powerful. Someone have faith, this means they always pray, and the prayer is very powerful. The effect of the prayer actually is already determined actually before you pray. Before you pray, actually, God kind of know whether I will listen to you or not. Right? Of course, you pray half an hour, 1 hour, 3 hours. But if before you pray, you did not live a godly life, you did not build up close relationship to God, even you pray long, doesn't matter, right? You're not righteous. Then how can God listen to you? But you always cultivate good relationship with God daily. Then when you are in need, when you pray, God will listen. Just very quickly, God will listen. Just all depend on your relationship with God. So I hope that through this book, we can know what is a true faith. True faith is faith with action. Let's pray in silence.